If you've experienced a DNA surprise, you know that your emotions can range from shock to denial to grief to anger to confusion to joy and around again. And sometimes it's hard to find people who understand this unique experience. Sometimes we feel a little stuck as we navigate this journey. That's why we created the DNA Surprise Retreat. At the DNA Surprise Retreat, you'll enjoy 6 expert-led sessions to help you process your DNA surprise. You'll eat delicious catered meals, and most importantly, you'll build beautiful friendships with people who understand you, all in a stunning private ranch facility in the Arizona desert. If you've had shocking DNA test results, know that you're not alone. This retreat is for you. Join us September 19th through the 22nd, 2024 in Phoenix, Arizona. Registration is open now. Reserve your space at dnasurpriseretreat.com. I'll see you there.
I think that my mom keeping the secret was probably the best thing she could have ever done for all of us. On the other hand, of course, the truth is always the best, but is it really?
Welcome to DNA Surprises, a podcast that delves into the world of unexpected DNA discoveries. I'm your host, Alexis Auerselt. In July 2021, my life took a surprising turn when I found out that I'm an NPE, a person who has experienced a non-paternal event. In other words, my biological father isn't who I thought he was. Join me as we explore the stories of NPEs, adoptees, and donor-conceived people and their families. Get ready to unravel the astonishing journeys that begin with a simple DNA test. This is DNA Surprises. Many of us who have had DNA surprises spend some time wondering, what if? What if we've been raised in a different house with our newly discovered biological parent? What if we'd known the truth from the beginning? What would our lives look like now? Would they be better? Or would they be worse? In this week's episode, Lisa shares how she uncovered her shocking DNA surprise, learning that her biological father is her dad's best friend. She shares how she built beautiful relationships with her newfound family, which has led her to wonder what life would have been like if she'd known them earlier. Ultimately, she reveals why she believes everything happened as it should have. Be sure to listen to the end of the episode for an update from Lisa on how things are going. Thank you for sharing your story, Lisa.
My name is Lisa. I am 53 years old, and I am from Oklahoma, a small town in Oklahoma. In October, the beginning of October, I took a DNA test. Not because I didn't know who I was, but because of the ethnicity. Because all my life, everybody has always asked, what are you? You know, where are you from? My mother was very dark. Her side of the family was very dark. I even have a great aunt they used to call Coco. And my grandparents, my great-great-grandparents came to Oklahoma during the land run. And so it was always rumored that, you know, they were Native American because of when they came. And they always said they were Black Dutch. And there's like a lot of conflicting stories about where the Black Dutch comes from. And that's what a lot of the Native Americans used when they were on the Trail of Tears to keep from getting killed or whatever. So that was always a question. And it's something I always wanted to do, just to know what we were. I started on Ancestry about probably 5 or 6 years ago, just looking up, you know, putting names in. And it was really funny to me that my whole life I knew more about my mom's side of the family because we were closer to them. But I found it so much more interesting on my dad's side. I finally did the DNA test. Of course, I got it on the Prime Day sale in July, and it sat on my desk, you know, for 3 months. And then one day I, you know, just said, what am I waiting on? Let me just do this. So I did it. And I was so excited when it came back. And of course, it said 0% Native American. And so I sent my brother a screenshot and I was like, look, we're whiter than we thought we were. You know, we're white mixed with white.
Yeah.
He called me right away and he was like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, I did a DNA test. And he said, why would you do that? And I said, because I'm nosy. You know, I've always been curious about the Native American, you know, the rumors in our family. And I just wanted to be able to kind of put those to rest. And he said, oh, okay. So what all did you find out? And so that was like 3 o'clock, I think. So at like 5:20, I got another email or another text message from Ancestry saying, you have DNA matches. And so when I clicked on it, I had 2 close matches and we didn't recognize either one of them. The top one was just initials, but the second one, it said first cousin and it had her name, but it wasn't somebody I recognized. You know, I did my little detective work and figured out who it was and everything just kind of fell into place after that.
Now, did you grow up close to your cousin? So when you saw first cousin, you were like, that's not a first cousin I know.
Yes. And the thing was, I only had 2 first cousins growing up. My dad's sister had passed away. I was born in April of 1970. She had passed away in December of 1969. And so she had 2 daughters, but we didn't grow up with them because their father raised them and then he got killed. And so they were raised by the father's side of the family. Okay. And so when I saw that, the first thing I thought of was my uncle, because my mother's brother, because he was a Rolling Stone.
Okay.
And so I have a cousin from him now. But here I am 53 and he's 20. I thought it was somebody coming out of the woodworks from my uncle. But it said my top match, which was only initials, it was managed by the first cousin. When I clicked on the name, I didn't recognize her. Of course, I looked her up on Facebook. I sent a screenshot to my brother and said, do you recognize this person? You know, we have some mutual friends and they're cousins of ours. So maybe she's a cousin, you know, that we didn't know about. And I said, she's from, you know, our hometown. And we have like, I think 10 mutual friends that most of them were our cousins. And he said, no, I don't recognize that. So I went to another website that I use every once in a while for research to look up people. And when you go to this website, you can see their maiden name or all the names that they've gone by, and then their close relatives, their addresses, and all that. And so the first person that popped up on her close relatives were the initials of the aunt. And so when I clicked on her, it took me to her maiden name, which was very familiar to me. It was one of my dad's best friends. Sister and somebody that I remember from my childhood, but he had passed away also.
Okay. So from doing that kind of deep dive, looking online, you put the pieces together. When you identified that person, did it totally hit you? Like, oh, that's my father? Or what were you thinking?
So just to backtrack a little bit, my parents, they got married in 1965. And my mom, she used to tell me how my dad was, he was either drunk or hungover when they got married. He was 4 years older than her. So she was 22 or 23 when they got married. So by the time I came along, she was 27 and he was 31. And they had been married for 5 years. It's really funny because I was born on April 29th and their anniversary was April 30th. Mm-hmm. And so growing up, my best friend, her parents were 10 years younger than mine. They got married in high school because they had to. And so I would always joke with her and say, yeah, my dad waited until the day after I was born to marry my mom till he made sure I was his.
Oh, wow.
But really, in actuality, they had been married for 5 years when I was born. And so, you know, I used to, my dad used to, and my mom also used to say, yeah, you know, we had to sow all of our wild oats before we had you. And so I always thought that was so admirable. Like, God, I wish I had done that, because, you know, I had my first child at 21 and, you know, I definitely hadn't sown my wild oats, you know.
Yeah.
And so I always thought that was so great. And I always loved their relationship. And they actually gave my brother and I such a high bar as far as relationships and marriage, because we never saw them argue. We never saw them. I mean, of course, they had disagreements, but we never heard any fighting or arguing or anything. And they just had the perfect marriage. And it made it really hard on us, because we had to find the perfect spouse. And yeah. So we grew up in a really good household. I mean, my mom was good to me. My dad was good to me. They were good to my brother. Of course, I was always daddy's favorite, and my brother was always mom's favorite. And we both knew that. Our mother, she passed away when we were young. She had breast cancer. And so she passed away in the early 90s when she was 51 years old. And that was really hard on us. It was really hard on my dad. He wanted to die also. He didn't want to continue. I was in the Army for 20 years, but I made it my purpose to get stationed back at home in Oklahoma so that I could be with my dad, because that's all we had was each other.
You really had no suspicions then growing
up? Not at all.
Because you had this idyllic childhood, mm-hmm. great parents.
Yeah,
they were together for a while. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were just like the perfect couple. So my dad was so heartbroken and everything, and was trying to find, he remarried to a lady that was just horrible. In 2016, we found out that my dad, we saw that his health was declining, but we found out that he had been having a bunch of strokes. By 2018, she was gone because she didn't want to take care of him. And so they got a divorce. My dad and I were like best friends. Sometimes I think we talked about stuff that we probably shouldn't have as daughter and, you know, father. But he had always been there for me. He was always the constant man in my life. When he was going through his divorce, I was trying to be there for him. And he was kind of moping around. And I asked him, I'm like, Dad, what is wrong with you? You know, and he said, well, you know, I miss her. And I said, what do you miss about her? You know, she wasn't a good person. I understand that you miss the companionship, but what do you really miss about her specifically? And he said, I don't know. And I said, you know, you had a good marriage with mom. This wasn't a good marriage. You've already had a good marriage and you have good memories with mom. And he said, well, it wasn't always as great as you thought it was. And I said, why do you say that? And he said, well, she had an affair. And I said, with who, Dad? I mean, she was crazy about you. And he said, well, she had an affair with Phil. And I said, Dad, mom did not want Phil. He was an alcoholic. She didn't want him. She didn't even want you until you got a job. because I've been told stories about her bringing him job applications. And the first thing I asked him, I said, L, which is my brother, is he his? Because I remember Phil, and I didn't know how far back their friendship had gone. I didn't know that they were friends back in the 60s, but I knew that I remembered him. And if he thought that mom and him had had an affair, why would they still be friends? And why would mom's best friend and him still be together? So I just assumed that it was later. He said, oh, no, he's not his. And I said, okay, well, why did you stay with mom if you're so sure that they had an affair? And he said, because I loved your kids and I didn't want anybody else raising my kids. I told my brother, of course, because he didn't tell things like that to my brother. And I told my brother and we both just kind of put it away. And I really didn't think about it. It wasn't even a thought in my head when I did the DNA test that anything would have come back, but that, you know, he was my dad. And so when it came back, I was actually on the phone with my brother when we figured out who it was, who the initials were. And I said, that's Phil's sister. And he said, I guess daddy wasn't as crazy as you thought he was.
Wow.
And
I think it's so interesting how we see these little signs, or, you know, looking back, it's like, oh, of course, but we put it away. Right. Then it comes back when we get these surprises. So
right.
How are you feeling when you realize this with your brother?
Of course, he said what everybody says, but Lee, dad's still your dad. And I was like, this isn't about dad. This isn't even about me or you. This is about mom. And I told him when I got pregnant with my first child, my mom was really hard on me to the point that she kind of questioned, was it even my husband? And in fact, I had never even told my dad until I think the day or two after my mom passed away, I told my dad. And he said, do you know your mom was sick? And now that I look back, I understand she was sick, because she had never said anything like that to me in my life. She had never talked to me like that. She had never questioned anything that I had ever done. You know, she was always proud of me. But that was my problem at first, was that, you know, how dare she? What a hypocrite. I mean, I was furious at first, you know, mm-hmm. as I think we all are. But now that I look back and I kind of have perspective, I kind of look at it like she did the best thing for her and for me, because he died in 1978. There's no telling what would have happened if my dad had known that I wasn't his. Although maybe he did know. I'll never know. So my dad's best friend, Phil, I remember him. He used to date my mom's best friend. And so I have all these memories going back to childhood. And there's not that many. Like, when I found out who he was and that he could possibly be my biological father, that he was my biological father, I could see him, but I couldn't see his face. I had these memories flashing back into my memory, like stuff that you store away. And I always knew that he cared about me. I pulled them out earlier. I have a collection of silver dollars that he gave me. Every birthday, he would give me a silver dollar until he died. I have 13, so I don't know if he gave them to me at other holidays or events, but he died in 1978, and he was an alcoholic. And I do remember that. I remember being at the liquor store with him and my dad. And I don't know if I remember this or if my dad had told me the story.
Yeah.
I can remember, or I've been told, that he would put me up on the counter and let me go pick a bottle. So, yeah, he was real special. After I talked to my brother that day, when I first found out, the next person I called was my mom's best friend. And I called her and I said, I took a DNA test and I just got my results. And it shows that my aunt, I'll just say Kay, her first initial, I said, shows that Kay is my aunt. So did you know that Phil was my biological father? And she just started crying. And she was like, Lisa, I'm so sorry. And I said, so you knew?
Yeah.
And she said, no, I didn't know. She said, I knew that something had happened, but I never wanted to know how far it had gone. She said, I always saw their chemistry. She said, he was so much fun. And she said, he was the life of the party. She said, we were so young, you know, we were in our 20s. And she said, you know, your dad worked nights a lot. So your mom would go out with me and him and we would go dancing and stuff. And she said, they would end up dancing and I would be sitting over there like the third wheel. And she said, you could just see the chemistry that they had. And she said, I always felt like such a schmuck. Like, why are you still with him when you know that he wants her? And so since then we've talked, you know, and she told me, you know, that my mom confessed, but again, she didn't say how far it had gone. She was just basically saying, oh my gosh, I love my husband. I don't know why I've gotten myself into this and so forth. And so, like, I mean, I told her that day, my mom's best friend, that I can remember being at her house with the two of them. And I said, I remember you and Phil taking me to the pool. And she said, you remember that? And I said, yes, I do. I can remember feeling really awkward because y'all were in the back, like, I don't know what they were doing, changing or whatever. And I was thinking, like, I can't believe she's changing in front of Phil, you know, because I was young. Yeah. And I said, I remember y'all took me to the pool. And she said, no, Lisa, he took you to the pool. I didn't go. And I said, that's so weird to me. I mean, nowadays it's weird. I guess back then it wasn't because he was daddy's best friend, you know. Yeah. And she said, yeah, something happened. Something came up and I couldn't go. So he just took you to the pool. And I thought that was so weird, you know.
So there's questions maybe of, did he know?
Oh, well, I have found out that he told his sister. She said that she just told me this probably about a month or so ago, that he called her drunk, that he would call her every once in a while drunk and just talk, you know, about whatever. And in one of those drunken conversations that he had told her, you know, I think Lisa's mine. And she said she really didn't think anything of it because he was always calling on these rants or whatever, you know. And she said, you know, I really didn't think about it until now. I had to search my memory. So
yeah,
the next day was kind of a blur. But because my first cousin and I had so many mutual friends, I felt like I needed to get ahead of it. Even though I was feeling mad at my mom, I still had a lot of respect for her. And I didn't want for my cousin to get the information the way I did and say, okay, who is this? And to reach out to our mutual friends, which most of them were my cousins on my mom's side. Like, they were all my mom's first cousins. Mm-hmm. And so I text my brother and I said, I'm going to text her, you know, I'm going to call her. So they own a pretty prominent business in our hometown and are very easy to find. I remember the family growing up. I knew that my mom was friends with her, but not close. And I remember her mother, which is now my biological grandmother. I remember her. I remember my mom, you know, speaking very fondly of them. She respected them. But I don't remember being around them. When I called my cousin, and I'm very matter of fact because I think that's the military in me. And I told her who I was. And I said, my name is Lisa. I matched with you on Ancestry DNA as a first cousin. And I'm pretty sure that Phil is my biological father. And I said, I don't want anything from you. I wasn't looking for family. I have family, but this is what I found. And she said, hold on a second. My Uncle Phil? And I said, yes. And she said, Lisa, can I call you back? I am in the grocery store. I need to get my thoughts together real fast. Let me call you when I get in the car. And I said, okay. And when I hung up, I thought, I'll never hear from her again. That's it, you know. Within 10 minutes, she called back. And she was crying. I was crying. I mean, it was almost like I found a sister that I've never had, you know. I have always, you know, I think because I lost my mother at such a young age, I have always kind of yearned for that female figure in my life. Both of my grandmothers died at 62. My mother died at 51. So by the time I was 24, I had no females. My uncle, like I said, he was kind of a rolling stone. So he had girlfriends here and there. He was married when I was a teenager, and they got divorced, and we never saw her again. So females in my life, you know, I've never had that. And so to talk to somebody and feel like there's no judgment or anything was just amazing. And we just connected. It was almost like we had grown up together. We would talk, we would cry. I mean, she said her mother is 87 years old. She's 65. You know, I didn't want to burden her mother with this. I didn't even know if she would want to have anything to do with me because, I mean, she's 87 years old. Most elderly like that are like, I don't care about other, you know, I don't need any more family, which I didn't either, you know. And that's what I told her. I said, listen, I wasn't looking for family. The next day I called her back and I said, you know, it just hit me that I've always been getting screened for diabetes because my dad was diabetic. His mother was diabetic. Both of my female cousins on his side are diabetic. One just recently passed away from it. Like within a month of me finding out, she passed away from diabetes. And so I said, what is my medical history now? You know? And she said, nothing, just addiction. And she said, everybody is pretty healthy on our side. She started saying my grandma. And then she said, well, I've never had to share. So our grandma. And I said, no, she is your grandma, because I had my grandparents, you know, those are still your grandparents, you know?
Yeah. So Phil never had any other children before he died.
Not that we know of. And he was 39 when he died.
Okay.
And so I keep checking to think, I keep wondering like, okay, are we going to find somebody else? Not that I want to, but it would be nice. I mean, I love my brother and we get along great. We always have. But now that I've seen like how they are, I mean, they have asked me like, Lisa, are you sure that he isn't Phil's also? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, maybe my dad couldn't have kids. I don't know. But also, I don't want my brother to feel the way that I do. Because even though they're great people, it's still hard. Like, my, you know, our lives will never be the same.
Has your brother wondered at all when you've talked to him?
He tells me that he doesn't. But his wife told me that he did, you know, initially he said, maybe I'm not even dad's either, you know, but he said, I don't ever want to find out. I don't ever want to do a DNA test. And I can respect that. I mean, even when I told him I did it, he was like, why would you do that? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned you've seen how that family is. Who all have you connected with on Phil's side?
So probably within 2 weeks. So my cousin, she talked to her mom and asked her, like, did you know, and told her what happened, that I had matched with them on Ancestry for DNA. And her mom, you know, she's older, but she's still really, really with it. I mean, she's very healthy. She still volunteers at the hospital weekly. She plays bridge all the time. I mean, she's just really spunky. And so she said, well, now that you say something, I think I remember that I think I knew that they had a little fling, but she thought it was just a one-time thing. And so, you know, my cousin and I talked about it and she said, Lisa, do you think it was a one-time thing? And I said, no, I don't think it was a one-time thing, but you know, if that's what she wants to think, that's fine, you know, because it doesn't matter now and we'll never know because, you know, my dad passed away in 2020. And that was another thing I missed. I forgot to say that he did pass away in 2020. And so it's like everything kind of happens when it's supposed to, you know, because if I had found out about all this when my dad was still alive, it would have been really hard to keep from him. Mm-hmm. And if I had told him, it would have broke his heart. And I don't know, maybe he would have said, yeah, I've known it all along. I don't know, but I just think that everything happens when it's supposed to happen. Yeah.
It's interesting because he did know about the affair.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, did he suspect or did he not? And like you said, you may never have those answers.
No, I won't.
Do you have any questions for your mom that you wish you could ask her, or do you not go down that road?
I really don't go down that road because, like I said, I think that, I mean, I know a lot of people's situation is different and their childhoods were different and everything, but I think, you know, and even my cousin, the second day, she said, she was like, Lisa, I've had time to think about this. And I just want, she said, I remember your parents and you had the best parents. She said, they were so great. And she said, if your mom had gotten with my uncle you, because what I hadn't mentioned was that their dad, not my cousin, but Phil and my aunt, their dad was also an alcoholic. And so she said, if your mom had gotten with my uncle, you would have been messed up just like my mom was, being raised by an alcoholic father.
Mm.
And she said, and then my parents got a divorce when I was 18, and it messed me up. She said, you're so lucky that your parents stayed together. And she said, I know they were good parents because I remember them. And she's 65, so she's 12 years older than me.
Yeah.
And so about 2 weeks, I think, after we found out, her and I met for lunch. And it was so nice. I mean, one thing, growing up, the only thing I did ever wonder was because my mom had really dark features. She had dark hair, dark eyes. My dad had dark hair, but he had blue eyes. And my brother has blue eyes. And here I am, green-eyed, and my hair is not naturally this color. It's brown, but it's actually gray now, so...
I was going to say, your hair is gorgeous.
Like, thank you. So thank you. Yeah. But no, my hair was more of a reddish brown. And so I always, and my brother is more blondish brown with blue eyes. And so I always thought, man, if I had blue eyes, I would really be it. You know, because I thought he always had the most beautiful blue eyes. And my dad did too. And I was like, why did I get these? Because growing up, they were more brownish green. So I'm like, why did I get this color of eyes? If I had had blue eyes, you know, God, you wouldn't be able to tell me anything.
Yeah.
And it kind of clicked that day when we were eating lunch. My cousin, she said, we were sitting across from each other, just looking at each other. And she said, Lisa, what color eyes does your brother have? And I said, he has blue eyes like daddy. And she said, and you have green eyes like me. And we just, I was like, yeah, I do. Because Phil was redheaded, green-eyed, and all of them are very fair, redhead, green eyes, you know. And
yeah,
once I looked at pictures, she sent me pictures because I said, can you send me some pictures? Because I remember how he looks, but I don't remember his face. And once she sent them to me, I was like, oh my God, how did they not know? Because although, I mean, you can, I look like my dad, I look like him. And I have a picture like when I was probably 8 or 9 months old, and I just look red. When I get nervous or anything, my face turns red. When I get hot, my face turns red. Everything turns red. And that's him right there, you know. And things have, just over the last 6 months, more and more things have come out, you know. And then right after Christmas, so at the time I was using MyHeritage for my family tree. And so I uploaded my DNA into MyHeritage and I matched with another aunt. And so I called my cousin and I'm like, who is this? And she said, I don't know, but I'm going to ask mom. She said, you know, grandpa was a Rolling Stone and he was the life of the party too, just like Uncle Phil. And I said, no, because at that point I hadn't met her. She hadn't expressed that she wanted to meet me. And I said, I don't want her thinking, oh Lord, here she comes and she's stirring shit, you know.
Yeah.
She's not even in the family and she's stirring up all this drama. So I was like, no, I'll figure it out. Don't ask your mom about anything. I don't want to upset her. And she said, no, Lisa, she's okay. She said, in fact, I hadn't told you. She said, because we were all busy with Christmas and everything. She said, but, you know, the other day, mom said, I think I'm ready to meet Lisa. And I said, really? Are you sure? And she said, yeah. She said, you know, she's had time to think about it. She said, in fact, she was telling me, you know, I probably got some siblings out there because my dad was out, you know, doing whatever too. You know, he was an alcoholic and he was the life of the party. He was always gone on business trips or what have you. And so she asked her dad, her mom, who this woman was. And she said, I don't know. And it was not a name that any of us were familiar with. This lady, she grew up more upstate Oklahoma and we're in the Southwest. And so we never even explored the fact that it could have been my grandpa on my mom's side. We just automatically assumed that it was on that side. And so in trying to figure it out, I reached out to her, but the person that managed her DNA was her sister's husband. And so he contacted me. He said that, he said, yes, they found out a few years ago, probably about 4 years ago, that they were only half siblings, half sisters, her and her sister. And he, it was almost like he was screening me to make sure. And I said, you know, I'm in the same situation. I just found out, you know, that my brother is my half sibling, and this is what led me to you, to her, you know. And so my cousin, I said, I think you need to upload your DNA into MyHeritage. And so it's funny because we just automatically trust each other. So she's like, Lisa, I don't know how to do that. So here's my username and password and to both sites. So you just go in there and do what you need to do. And I said, okay. Between that time, I'm trying to figure out how we're related. And when I finally talked to her, to my new aunt, she told me, she said, it's so weird because my mom was 20 when she had me, and this man would have been almost 40. And so it didn't even dawn on me until I got off the phone with her. I looked at all the dates, and my maternal grandfather, he would have been 21. And so I called my cousin and I said, do not say anything to your mom. Don't say anything until you match with her, because this could be my papa's long lost daughter. Because if my mom did it, he could have done it too. I mean, I don't put it past anybody now, you know?
Right, right.
And so I stayed up all night one night doing the through lines. Well, I was matching with people in my dad's, because I hadn't changed my biological father to Phil. I still have my dad. I was matching with people through him, because my, I think it's like fifth great grandfather has the same last name as Phil. So he was kin, we're kin all, you know,
yeah,
through every side. And so, because all of our families came to Oklahoma in the 1850s, and like my dad's dad had like 10 siblings, and then Phil's dad had like 12 siblings. And so all of our trees cross, all the branches cross at some point.
Right. So your raised dad and Phil were related. They just didn't know it, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. Like fourth or fifth cousins. Yeah. And so I stayed up till like 4:30 a.m. trying to figure it out. And it was driving me crazy. And so the next morning, that's when I told my cousin, I said, you've got to upload your DNA. And I'm not logging on to either one of these sites until we get your results, because this is going to drive me crazy. You know, you go down that rabbit hole and you can't get out. And so that's when she agreed to do it. Well, then she matched with her, but her mom still didn't really understand it. And then even she was like, well, what if this is Uncle Phil's love child or something from when he was like 17 and the girl was 19? And I said, it would have been a stronger DNA match than me and you. And it's not, you know, it's a little bit lower than you because she's a half aunt, you know. And so what we had to do was upload my aunt's DNA, and then they matched. And so it's just, it's like I went from not having any females in my life to my cousin, the two aunts. Now, the half aunt, she's not as open as my aunt is. Now, my aunt,
this is the new, this, so when I first met her, the new aunt isn't as open.
Yeah, the new aunt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So my aunt, Kay, I met her the first week of January. And we met at the same Mexican restaurant that my cousin and I met at. And I said, I think I'm going to have a beer. And she said, I think I am too. We all had a beer at lunch. We all ate the same thing. Whatever I order, they order. They're like, we all have the same taste in foods. So whatever you like, we'll like. My aunt, she came to me, grabbed my face and was like, oh my gosh, I've always wanted to have a niece. I've never had a niece. I've always wanted to be an aunt, but I never have, you know, except for through her husband. I feel bad because I guess my aunt and my other aunt, they've spoken once, but they just, I mean, and my new aunt, she told me, like, I feel no connection to them because I don't know them. I've never known them. I don't know who he was, you know, and I can understand that because I don't feel any more connected to Phil. Now, I feel connected to my cousin and my aunt because they're still here, but I don't feel like he was my dad, you know, yeah. And there's been a couple of times, like my cousin gave me some pictures of him and she said, here's your daddy. And I was just like, oh, okay. You know,
didn't set because, right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not my daddy, but I took the pictures because one day I may want them. Right now, I don't know what I mean, they're put away in a safe place, but at the time when she gave them to me, it was just too soon, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah. So yeah, it's been like just figuring out all of our little quirks and stuff. I mean, I was talking to my aunt the other day and I had on my headphones and I was going throughout the house and I hadn't talked to her in probably a week. And when I called, she said, I feel like I'm having withdrawals.
Aww.
Like we haven't talked. And she said, when I call, you know, the picture comes up for the iPhone and she'll say, I just love seeing your beautiful face when you call. I just can't get over it. I can't believe that you're my niece. And it's just so special. And I mean, she is just the nicest person. They all are. I couldn't ask for a better family. Of course, you know, at first, when I first met her, I was like, well, I wasn't trying to find y'all. You know,
yeah,
I think I was kind of defensive because I didn't know what to expect. I have listened to so many podcasts and heard so many people's stories to where I was just kind of expecting the worst. And it just turned out to be the best, you know.
That's really great. So you kind of explained the what ifs for you, which is something that a lot of people who have DNA surprises think about, right? Like the what if. What if you'd been raised by Phil? What if you grew up in that family? And it sounds like you don't really have any regrets in terms of that because you're very happy with the family that you had. I'm curious if your perception of your parents has changed in any way, just because it sounds like you kind of had them on such a pedestal of such this perfect relationship and they were perfect parents. And obviously they sound like wonderful people. So I don't mean it in any sort of negative way,
but I understand.
Did it kind of change how you thought of them or did you look at them in a new light?
It did. I mean, I think now I have so much respect for my dad. And I do still respect my mom, but I know now that she was human. I mean, they're human. I can't say, I mean, I've got three kids and I know exactly who their fathers are.
Yeah.
I can't ever say that I've been there in that situation. But I mean, I think given the situation, I think she made the best choice possible for us. I mean, yes. I want to tell everybody that this happened and because I don't want to be the secret. But on the other hand, I don't tell everybody because I do still respect my parents. And I don't want anybody to ever think like, oh, I don't know. I really don't want people to think less of either one of them.
Has the way that you've thought about raising your children or the way that you take care of yourself changed at all in light of the new medical information? So now you know you don't maybe have to worry as much about diabetes and some of those things, but then addiction is now a factor in your medical history.
Well, and I do have a son that fights addiction and from both sides of the family. And so, yeah, I mean, a year ago, I went to the doctor and I had put on a bunch of weight from menopause and life, you know, pandemic, whatever, and just aging. And I asked my doctor, I said, can you put me on Ozempic? And he was like, Lisa, you are not pre-diabetic. You have me check it every year and you're not. And I said, I have to be. My dad had it. My grandmother had it. My cousins have it. There's no way I can't have it. And so when I found this out, I was just kind of laughing like, okay, God, you got me. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like kind now of a it relief all comes
in
together.
Some ways. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to see, like, I always felt like, I don't know how many years I'm going to be on this earth. You know, my grandmothers both died at 62, my mom at 51. I mean, when I turned 52, it was a big deal to me, you know. And now I look at my aunt, you know, she's 87, still driving and still going everywhere. The other day when she called me, I said, yeah, I'm in the house too. I'm doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And she said, are you a piddler? And I said, I had never heard it that way. And I said, what do you mean? She said, you know, you always have something to do. You're always doing something. And I said, yes, I am. She said, yep, your cousin is too. She said, it's so funny, all these little quirks, you know, that we find out we're so much alike.
That's so funny.
My cousin, we both have pools. We both love to just get out in the pool and float, you know. And,
yeah.
And it's funny, we were talking one day and my cousin, she says, yeah, when we first put our pool in, we thought it would be good for mom and her husband because, you know, they're getting older and it'd be good for exercise. She said, but she doesn't like getting in it because she's scared of the water. And I said, you know, my dad was scared of the water. He would never get in the water. We had a boat growing up because he knew that we loved to water ski, but we could never, he would get out on the side of the boat that we weren't on and we couldn't come near him because he didn't want to get his face wet. And she said, oh my gosh, Lisa, I remember being a kid on a boat with my uncle and my parents and your mom and dad and you. And it's like all these memories, you know, keep coming back.
Oh,
and
wow.
She said, I remember that. She said, I'm going to have to ask my dad about it. She asked her dad and he couldn't remember, but he did remember. We went over there for Memorial Weekend. And he told me, he said, Phil told me that you were his.
So he told multiple people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
How do you feel knowing that he knew?
I mean, I always felt like he loved me because he would give me the silver dollars and stuff. And now I understand why, you know.
Yeah.
He had, this is funny too, I forgot to say about this, but he was married. He got married to this lady and she was a hairdresser. And in 2018, I got a friend request from her on Facebook. And we exchanged a couple of messages on Messenger. And I told her, she said, oh my gosh, you know, you look just like your mother. I remember y'all. And I said, yeah, I remember you too. I said, you know, I still have my silver dollars from Phil. And she never responded. I mean, I don't know what happened. And actually, she's 80 years old. So I found out that she has like multiple Facebook accounts because I guess, you know, uh-huh. I don't know if she gets hacked or she forgets a password or whatever. So I had tried to contact her because I really thought, well, if somebody knew, she would know.
Yeah.
But now I don't think that's probably a good idea. So it's probably not okay. A good idea. I asked her. Because her daughter actually took his name, and that's supposedly, you know, his daughter. And I don't want her to think that I'm trying to take anything that, I mean, there's nothing to get, but you know what I mean? I don't want her to ever think that I'm saying, oh no, I'm his daughter, you know?
Right.
Because I'm not. I mean, I am biologically, but not emotionally or anything like that. You know, my emotions are still with my dad.
Yeah. So speaking of your emotions,
mm-hmm.
How would you say that this whole thing, this DNA surprise has affected you?
Some days I'm good. Some days I can listen. I listen to your podcasts and there's a couple of others that I listen to them and they really helped me through it. That was the first thing I did probably the day after. The day after I found out, I was in tears all day. I mean, my brother texted me and he was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't sleep all night. Are you okay? And I said, you know, I think it finally just hit me today. So I've been in tears all day long. But since then, I mean, I still get emotional. I'm emotional anyway. I don't know. It just hits me out of the blue sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since losing my dad in 2020, it has been really hard because he's always been my rock. And so now, you know, to have, and then my uncle, my mom's brother, he had passed away in 2019. So like the first thing I wanted to do after I found out, I called his widow and my uncles, and I'm like, oh, I wish he was here. Why isn't he here so I can talk to him about this, you know?
Yeah.
And so I went over and like vented to her, and she was like, you should be glad that your uncle's not here, because he would be mad at your mom because he loved your dad, you know.
Mm.
And he always, you know, he took care of my dad. He would always come over to the house after we had to move my dad out and check on things when we never even asked him to. He would call me and my brother and be like, oh, there was a water leak at the house, you know, but I fixed it. So he was really great. And so now I don't have my dad and my uncle, but I have my aunt and my cousin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, God knows what we need when we need it.
What advice do you have for a parent who's keeping a DNA surprise from their child?
Well, I mean, the truth is always going to come out. What happens in the dark is always going to come to light. But I think it just depends on the situation. I mean, in my case, he was an alcoholic. I mean, he died when I was 8. It just depends. I think if my dad was a different person, I would have said, oh yeah, tell the truth. But in my case, and every case is different, sometimes we just have to use what God gave us and, you know, what we know, and give our mom a little bit of grace, you know, because
yeah,
sometimes we may not understand it, but they think they're doing what's best for us.
Mm-hmm. And what advice do you have for someone who just discovered they're an NPE?
Just to do what's best for you. Listen to the podcast. I mean, I never even knew there was a name for it, the NPE. The first thing I did, you know, after the shock wore off, was I went on Facebook and started looking at DNA discoveries, DNA surprises, you know, and I came up to one of the NPE groups. And then it led me to your podcast. And that's what helped me through it, to see like, you're not special. You're not unique. You know, this is not something that just happened to you. We're actually probably the majority and not the minority, you know.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I said, everything happened when it was supposed to with me.
Lisa, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your perspective. I think you have such a beautiful perspective on the timing of things, and you have such compassion for all of the adults involved in this situation.
I'm so glad
that you've been able to make the most of it and forge these really beautiful relationships, and I hope they continue to grow.
I hope they do too, especially with my Nunu aunt.
Yes, your Nunu. I hope you enjoyed the first part of this episode. Lisa and I chatted last week, about 6 months after we initially talked, to find out how she's doing and how things have evolved since we first spoke. Here's her update.
I had a lot of unanswered questions since my biological father, my mom, and my dad, who is the man who raised me, since they were all deceased. So I didn't ever, you know, I didn't know if my mom knew, if my dad knew, or if any of them knew, you know, if it was really a secret. And so I have found out since recording that I don't think my mom told anybody but him, but she did tell him, but he told everybody.
So she did tell your biological father.
Yes. So his widow, they were only married for the 4 years before he passed away. He passed away in 1978. So they got married in 74 when I was 4 years old. And so in 2018, I got a friend request from her out of the blue. I mean, I haven't had any contact with this lady since I was a kid. And I remember her. And I mentioned to her, because he had given me all the silver dollars, not knowing, you know, because this was in 2018, and I didn't find out until 2022.
Right.
And she didn't really say much. And so I didn't want to make her mad by asking her questions, but I felt like she had the answers that I probably needed, because husband and wives, they talk different than a husband and a sister.
Sure.
My aunt, she said, oh, you know, he mentioned one time that he thought you were his, but he was drunk, so I really didn't take it seriously, because he would call me, you know, in drunken rants late at night and stuff. With his widow, I just felt like she probably had the answers, but I didn't really want to make her mad, because what if she didn't know? And I can remember being at her house when I was young. Finally, in October, just a few months ago, I called her, because I said, you know what? She's not my blood. So if she gets mad, oh well, but I have to know the answers. I said, you know, I want to ask you a question, but I don't want you to get upset with me, and I don't want to hurt you, because she's 81 now. And I said, so, but I have got to have the answers. And she said, okay. And I said, you know, I found out that Phil, that he's my biological father. Did you know? And she said, oh, yes, I always knew. And I never held anything against your mother. I always loved your mother, because that was over with before me and him got together.
What did you think when you heard that?
You know, it was almost like I went through a whole nother grieving process. Because then she went on to tell me, oh, yeah, you know, your dad used to work night shift. They would be together all the time while your dad was on night shift. And I said, well, how long do you think it lasted? And she said, oh, it lasted years. And so it just kind of, I was like, wow. So my dad was at work, you know, working 12-hour night shift. And she was not just like sneaking away to have an affair. She was really, like, they were really together. And I truly believe that they were probably in love, you know, or lust. I don't know. But I think that they probably were, if they were spending full nights together.
Yeah. So you had a very compassionate view of your mother last time we talked.
And I still do. It was just hard for about a week after that. You know, my brother texted me and he was like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, you know, I just got some bad news. I finally got a chance to talk to his widow and, you know, come to find out, Mom did know. She knew for sure that I was his. I asked her, how did he know that I was his? And she said, because your mom told him. And I said, well, what about my dad? And she said, oh, no. She said, that was what was so hard for him, because she said he wanted to be a part of your life and he wanted to do so much for you because he didn't have any biological children. But he couldn't because he was afraid that your dad would kill him. And I was like, I could see that, because my dad was pretty crazy back then, you know, back in the day. And I'm sure that he would want to protect his relationship, you know. And that was one of his best friends. I mean, I have his obituary. My aunt gave me a whole box full of all of his stuff, like all of his childhood pictures and his obituary and all that. And my dad is the first person listed as the pallbearers. So that was kind of hard. You know, all I remember was that he was an alcoholic. But I sat there. We talked for like 2.5-3 hours. I went and had lunch with her. And she just told me, you know, like how great of a person he was. And he was just so nice. And everybody loved him. And he was a gentleman. And that's the thing. Like, everybody that I know that I've talked to, they've all spoken so highly of him. I've had certain memories come back. When I was, I don't know how old I was. I don't even have anybody to ask how old I was, but I had to have surgery because I had had like really high temperatures when I was a baby and it was going to rot my teeth. They weren't rotted, but they thought it was going to. And so they had to go in. I was in the hospital for like, I think 2 nights, And I remember this. I remember that he brought me candy, and they were all laughing because they were like, he has no kids, so he doesn't understand that you're in the hospital
for your teeth,
having surgery for your teeth. And he brought me a box of candy.
Is this something that kind of came to you after you started reflecting on these positive stories that people are telling you about him?
Yes.
Because last time we talked, it was kind of like, you had fond memories of him, but you were like, he was an alcoholic, he died young. Like,
that's all I remembered. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, my cousin, we've had a few of those moments. You know, I don't know if I told you, we found out that our grandmother, our biological grandmother, she was the one that rented us our house. She was our landlord. I was talking about when I was born that we lived on South 10th Street in our hometown. And one of the cousins, she said, wait, didn't Aunt such and such, didn't she own a house over there on South 10th? And I had taken a picture of the house because me and my daughter went through there and I took her by there and I said, this is where I lived, you know, when I was born until Grandma and Grandpa built their house. And so I took a picture of the house. So I pulled up my phone and I said, here's the house. And they were like, yeah, that's her house. So she was written to my parents.
Your mom kept it a big secret. He told mm-hmm. everybody. So who mm-hmm. all knew, come to find out?
So come to find out, on Memorial weekend, I went over and me and my daughter, and they had a big barbecue at my cousin's house. And my aunt and her husband, they live, it's kind of a family compound. And so my cousin, her dad came over. He's about to be 90. And he came up and told me, he said, yeah, Phil told me that you were his. And my aunt said, well, when did he tell you that? I didn't know that. And he said, well, there's a lot of stuff that we talked about that you didn't know about. He said, we would be out fixing fence on the farm, and he would tell me all kinds of stuff. When we left, this is a big thing. When we left, my daughter said, Mom, they are so nice. Like, it's almost as if they're acting. They're so nice. She said, I feel closer to them than I feel to our family that we're around all the time. And so 4th of July weekend, my husband went with us. So me and my daughter and my husband went over there. And him and my cousin's husband, they just hit it off. They're like two schoolboys together, always talking about sports and golf and whatever. And so when we left there, my husband said, they're just too damn nice. I mean, they're just so genuinely nice. And I said, I know, I told y'all that, you know, and my daughter said the same thing. And so in August, my daughter's birthday comes around and I said, well, what do you want to do for your birthday? She said, I just want to go out to eat. I want Aunt Kay, Aunt Cheryl, all the whole family to come. I want all my new family to come. And so they all came over here where we live, which is like 30 minutes away, and had lunch or had dinner for my daughter's birthday. And that was the first time my youngest son met them. And when we left the restaurant, he called me and he was like, Mom, they are so nice. Like all three of them said the same thing.
That's amazing.
It is. It is. It's been such a blessing.
So do you talk to them and see them often now? Or what's your relationship like
now?
Oh,
yeah. We had lunch. My cousin's birthday was last week. And I went over and we had lunch. Actually, on Valentine's Day, we had lunch for her birthday. My aunt, she's 88 now. She's just so spunky. I mean, so sassy. It's just, it's crazy to have that many similarities with people that you didn't even know your whole life.
It's been about 6-7 months since we first spoke. How has your mm-hmm. view of your situation changed since we spoke last?
I don't think it's really changed. I mean, I still have a lot of empathy for my mom because she died at 51, and it makes me wonder, like, what was that burden that she was carrying? Is that what made her sick? I mean, bless her heart. You know,
yeah,
that she had to carry that lie for, I mean, I was 24 when she died, so 24 years she carried it. I don't know if it would have came out. My parents had some best friends that we always went on vacations and stuff with, and I hadn't told them because I wanted to tell them all together, And I hadn't seen them all together until about 2 months ago. Me and my daughter ran out into them at Outback. And so I told him, I said, hey, I'm about to pay, but I'm going to be over to the table in a minute. And I'm going to tell y'all something. And that'll give y'all something to talk about after I leave, you know. And so I went over and I told them. And one of the ladies my brother had already told, which I didn't know. And I didn't even know that he would feel comfortable telling anybody because it's kind of that touchy subject, you know, with him. But one of the men, one of the gentlemen, he and my dad lived together when my dad first came to our hometown. And so he had known my dad the longest, but I didn't know that he had also known my biological father for even longer. I haven't asked him yet because he kind of gave me the feeling that maybe he knew, but he told me, he said, I want to tell you something. I have never met a nicer person. He said, when I got out of the Navy, I came back to our hometown, and he said, he's the person that signed for me to get my first horse trailer because they were all into rodeo. And he said, he didn't have to do that for me, but he did. And he trusted me enough that I would pay him back, you know. And he said, he was the nicest person you'll ever meet. He said, he just had a drinking problem. And he said, I don't know where that stemmed from. But I'll tell you this, I think if he had lived, that this all would have came out. And so that's what kind of made me wonder, like, did he know?
How do you feel about knowing that he really wanted to be in your life as more of a father figure?
He kind of was. I mean, he was kind of like a godfather. Even with the silver dollars, like, he could have put $5 in a card, and I probably to this day wouldn't have the $5 or the card, you know. But he gave me silver dollars every time. And that's something that I've kept, not even knowing the meaning behind them. You know, it was something that he could give me. His widow the other day, she had told me, she said, oh, he was so proud of you that you were such a good guitar player, which I wasn't. I wasn't at all. She said, he was always bragging about your guitar. And I said, what do you mean how good I was? I was never good at guitar. And she said, yeah, your mom told him that you learned this song. And she said you were doing really good. And he was so proud that you, you know, were doing so good. And I said, well, I guess that's how mothers are. We always think our kids are better than what they are, you know. And she said, oh, yeah, your mom said you were the best. And, you know, I guess she would give him updates. And then she also told me, she said, yeah, when your parents had to go somewhere, like with your brother or something, you would stay with us. And I was like, I mean, I guess it makes sense since him and my dad were such good friends.
It's just wild that as time has gone on, you've learned so much more. You know, often you hear the everybody knew, people kind of find that out, myself included, right afterwards. But you find this out going down the road. How does that make you feel when you hear that he talked about you?
It makes me feel better because I don't think that I was unwanted or anything. I think that I was loved by all three of them. I can't say that I wish that I had known when I was a kid because I know that my life would be totally different. You know, he would have died it when I was 8. You know, my mom would have thrown her marriage away for somebody that, I mean, he may not have died it when I was 8, but he probably would have, you know. And so it's like, yeah, it would have been nice to have my cousin and my aunt way back then because they're amazing, you know. But on the flip side, what would I have had to lose to gain them earlier? And, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. What additional, like, insights, I guess, would you want people to know about how you felt as you get further and further from your discovery date? What has changed? How have you healed?
Well, the main thing, listening to your podcast and there's a couple of others because I've gone through all of yours already. So now I'm working on.
Of course, there's really great ones. Yeah, Lily, yes. Eve.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I have listened to so many podcasts. Now, sometimes I have to take a break because sometimes I'm like, okay, I need to listen to some, you know, 80s rock or 90s R&B or something, you know, to get out of this funk, because
you can
start listening to everybody's stories and kind of stay in a funk, you know? And so I've had to just, I mean, I probably listen to them at least every other day, if not every day, sometimes while I'm working or whatever, I listen to the podcast. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, my whole life was a lie and all that. But it hasn't changed me, who I am. It's added to who I am.
You kind of touched on this. You said sometimes, you know, you listen to the podcast, sometimes you have to take a break. Do you ever feel sadness or grief or anything like that around your DNA surprise? Because your outlook is so positive.
I was driving one night. I live in Oklahoma, and I was driving from Dallas, so it's about a 2.5-3 hour drive, coming home late, and my husband was asleep. You know, my daughter was in the back asleep. It was late. And all of a sudden, I just started crying out of nowhere. It just overcomes me sometimes, because I'm like, oh my gosh, you know. And sometimes I'll get into that mindset where, like, God, everything is just different now. But is it really? I mean, I'm still the same person, you know. Yes, I mean,
yeah,
it isn't like you with the race change. So I'm like, oh, I'm still the same person, but I mean, like, all my health
insurance. It's a huge piece.
It is. All of my, you know, my son the other day, he said, oh, yeah, I'm always telling everybody that I got my good hair from my papa. He said, but where did we get it from?
What is next for you on your journey?
I don't know. I mean, we still, did I tell you about the aunt that we found? Another MPE? So she has I don't think she wants to pursue anything. I mean, I had heard from her. The last time I had heard from her was in May. And then on Christmas, I texted her and just said, hey, Merry Christmas. You know, I didn't push it or anything. And that was the first time in, 6 months that she had texted me back. And she was like, I'm so sorry, I haven't texted you back. But she still hasn't contacted my aunt. My aunt had called her. And, you know, but it's different. My discovery is different from hers because I knew them my whole life. I didn't know my aunt so much. I knew of her, though. And I didn't know my cousin. But, I mean, like, I knew my biological father. I knew my biological grandmother. I remember my mom talking about them and my mom's best friend that she dated him, you know. So these are people that I've known of my whole life. With her, she's like, I don't even know how my mom would meet him and, you know. And so.
Yeah, and everyone handles it differently.
Right. I would love to meet her in person. She's beautiful. She just turned 72. I feel like we have a lot in common. And like my aunt really wants to meet her. She's like, when is she coming back to Oklahoma? Has she said anything? You know, and I hate to say. And she told me, she said, if she doesn't want to pursue it, I understand, you know. She said, but I've always wanted a sister, just like I always wanted a niece. You know, I always wanted to be an aunt. But moving forward, I mean, like, I would love to have a relationship with her moving forward, or at least to meet her in person, you know. And I would love for her to meet them, because they're such good people and they're so genuine, you know. And I don't know. So,
yeah.
And, you know, my brother, they want to meet my brother. But he's like, why do I need to meet them? You know? And I'm like, well.
Do you like him too?
I mean, I don't want to push him. Just like, I mean, initially I wanted him to take a DNA test. But now I'm like, I don't want him to. I don't want him to have to go through what I've gone through. And also, if his biological father is not our dad and it's somebody else, he might not have the good situation that I've, you know, that I've come into.
So you really suspect that maybe he could be an NPE.
Yeah. And I don't want him to go through what I've gone through. Even though it was a good experience, but still, there's that. It's like bittersweet, you know.
For and sure.
So I don't
for
want sure. him to go through that. I think that's kind of his thing, like, I don't need to meet them. And he doesn't, if he doesn't want to. I'm just glad that we still have a good relationship. And we do.
Absolutely. You know. Absolutely. Oh, I'm so excited for you that your relationship is going so great with your family. And, like, that you've been able to have such a positive outlook on all of it while still acknowledging the sadness and all of that. But, you know, kind of refusing to stay stuck.
No.
And keep going.
No.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's really great.
I think that, like I said, everything happened when it was supposed to. Could I have used them growing up? Of course, because they're amazing people. But I had a good family. And to have this family would have kind of negated, you know, it would have crossed out the other.
Thanks again to Lisa for sharing her story. If you have a DNA surprise that you'd like to share, submit your story at dnasurprisespodcast.com. Until next time. This episode of DNA Surprises was hosted, produced, and edited by me, Alexis Auerselt. It was mixed and mastered by Josh Auerselt of Siren Recording Studios.